Welcome to the Inner Side radio program. My name is Scooter, and there's been some conflicting reports on Occupy Houston tonight as to whether Herman Square Plaza was going to be cleared by HPD. If anybody has any info, call in, and I'll get something on the air. I'm sure we'll be occupying something this weekend. I'm off work this Saturday. I'll be there with my kids, unless they have to work overtime in the textile mill or Koch Brothers benzene mines. Let's make this Saturday family day at Occupy Houston. And remember, if things go wrong, there's nothing more entertaining for your children than watching their parents humiliated by authority figures with tear gas and handcuffs. They'll be snapping photos on the iPhone and texting their BFFs. OMG is the new WTF, fellow Americans. Expect us. We're going to kick it off with Houston's own and Architects from their Digital Dark Age CD. I realize I've been playing the hell out of this, but I have to say, the timing on release of this CD couldn't have been more perfect. This is They're Building a Wall. Now that Houston has been occupied, and despite recent developments, we're not going anywhere, I suspect that many listeners are digging in for another political rant from yours truly on the evils of capitalism and the hijacking of our political system by rapacious, blood-sucking Wall Street parasites. But I'm not going to do that. In the immortal words of our dear friend, Larry Winters, y'all know I'm not political. Well, not me neither. I am bipartisan. I'm from the hang 'em all and start from scratch party. And that's as bipartisan as it gets. I'm not going to single out conservatives or liberals to not be hanged. I'm open-minded. I like my political revolutions like my coffee, dark and French. But Scooter, what about peaceful revolution? Well, I have a problem with peace. And I know, it's not very popular to be against peace, especially around here with all these pacifists hanging around. But if you pay any attention to history, you'll notice that peace always leads to war. Always. Unless your idea of peace is to be subjugated by some imperialist Roman-style expansionist empire, but that could never happen again. Not since we have Facebook and Twitter. So I was thinking, maybe the only way to end war is to get rid of peace. Because there seems to be some kind of cause and effect going on there. I think some old Russian guy even wrote a book on this. Maybe we need to keep some kind of a low-level revolution going on all the time. So the warmonger class has to spend all their energy covering their own asses, and they don't have time to build an empire or scrape populations off the land so they can suck out everything underfoot and burn it to drive their meat-grinding turbines. Peace is overrated, and it's boring. It's boring. I don't want to live in peace. I want to live in interesting times. Settle down with a nice Chinese girl on Wall Street, where the buildings used to be.
With Hans Blix at the helm. With Hans Blix. Blix. Blix.
Generals gathered in their masses.
With Hans Blix at the helm. Blix.
Camp Commando.
Blitz.
This is a UN operation, remember.
Blitz. Hans. Blitz.
Sorcerer of death's construction.
The U.S. military now installing a new command center at a heavily guarded...
Blitz. Blitz.
In the fields of bodies burning...
Listen to me.
This December, the wait is over.
December 8 approaches.
This December.
I think one of the keys here, Bob, is that we get access to scientists and officials. Remember, we can interview scientists anytime, any place, anyone.
The wait is over.
We have the authority to take them out of the country and their families, to intimidate them. Unfortunately, scientists and their families have met an untimely death when he returned to Iraq, but
the wait,
we need access to these scientists
is over.
And their families.
We do have stories now that we have officials for Saddam hiding things in their homes.
Daddy.
And now there are rumors that ordinary Iraqis
Dad.
Could be hiding key weapons parts.
Dad, the weapons there's nuclear bombs it. In the fridge.
Ray. And chemical bombs.
Dad.
Could you keep it? I'm trying to do this thing for the radio.
There's nukes in the fridge.
Put that thing down.
You can put your eye out with that
Don't
thing.
Touch that.
Kids drag in the darndest things.
There's anthrax in the peanut butter.
Stop playing with your food.
In their homes.
Today, kids are bringing home Iraqis.
Where is your chemical weapons, Daddy?
What's this, Daddy?
Kaboom dissolves rust stains.
These Iraqis are driving me crazy.
That's for ethnic cleansing.
Even this black buildup.
They want your oil.
Even if they've been there a while.
What can I do?
Use Kaboom to maintain your store.
Wow Chemical has the answer.
Kaboom is amazing.
Iraqi Go.
Give me some falafel.
Is it hard to use?
Just point and spray.
It's right before your eyes.
No more Iraqi.
Cool.
And my floor is so shiny.
Where's my Iraqi?
And you'll never see that build up again.
Call to order Kaboom. As a special TV offer, you'll receive
Turn
two 32-inch
People are hiding things in houses and schools and other places.
What's this button do?
Don't touch that.
Father Mackenzie, is there a scud in your pocket?
Well, you're a curious young lad. Come on over here to Father.
Call now.
Iraqi Go by the makers of Atheist Motel.
I remember my son when he heard the B-52 over his head. I put my hand on his heart, and I felt his heart bumping like crazy.
Mama, do say, is over.
No, I'm not saying I don't believe in political solutions. I mean, why else would I be here hanging around with smart people? I experimented with intellectualism in college. I don't have time for this crap. All your economic models and social critiques. I can't be just going around and occupying stuff. I can barely fill the space I'm in. I should be out doing Texas stuff, like blowing the head off some deer I've been feeding all summer, or getting wasted down at the beer joint. Choosing not to be gay, that takes a lot of energy here in Houston, especially if you've been drinking. Besides, I have my role in society to think about. I need to spend more time at work, moving pixels around in my cubicle, or my other job, unpacking Chinese widgets and stamping Made in America on them. Because I'm a real blue-collar guy and I like working with my hands, and patriotic product enhancement stamping technician was the only employment available in the new crumbling empire two-job economy that seems to require a lot of overtime. God bless America.
Now, my mother, like I say, worked for the CIO. We were living in Cleveland, Ohio. We moved west in 47. She made sure that we had appropriate heroes. My mother would clip the Cleveland Plain Dealer, it was a good labor paper in its day, and take out columns and paste them in a scrapbook to trundle down to the school to share with our wee comrades. And what she favored, mainly she favored bank robbers. She clipped columns about, a lot of that going on. It was the late Depression. And then there was Kid Pharaoh. Now, Kid Pharaoh, we had a little book of Kid Pharaoh. It was harder to get info on him. He was a legendary safecracker from Chicago. And after my parents had passed on, I was out in the world. I found out that in his dotage, Kid Pharaoh was interviewed by the great Studs Terkel. You know about him here. The only person I know of who could successfully interview a safecracker from Chicago. And Studs was surprised to find that he had a political philosophy. Kid Pharaoh said, see if I remember it, said, "Studs, I am committed to one proposition, taking money away from a bunch of dilettantes who earned it through nepotism. Take it away from them by hook, by crook, slingshot, canoe. We must shaft these guys." You got to love a fella to say a thing like that. Yes, sir. My mother said, "We got to have more Robin Hood bandits to balance out the philanthropists." Said, "Yeah, Robin Hood bandit gives away privately what he steals publicly, and a philanthropist, well, you figure it out."
People have made the connection between foreclosures, banks, war, and all. But that's why I'm here, Max, because you said you had solutions, and I thought your solutions sound pretty brilliant, so I'm here to ask you questions as well.
You said, Roseanne Barr, if corporations are people, then Goldman Sachs needs to be executed for premeditated mass murder, terrorism, mayhem, and grand larceny.
Yes, absolutely.
Would this be your platform then, running for president?
It's part of it. The part of my platform is, of course, that the guilty must be punished, and that we can no longer, let our children see their guilty leaders getting away with murder, because it teaches children that, they don't have to have any morals, and as long as they have guns and are bullies, that they'll win. And I don't think that's a good message. I do say that I am for the return of the guillotine, and that is for the worst of the worst of the guilty.
You're singing to the choir on this show. We've been advocating the guillotine for years now.
Oh, well, fantastic. We think alike in many ways. I first would allow the guilty bankers to pay, the ability to pay back anything over $100 million personal wealth, because I believe in a maximum wage of $100 million. And if they're unable to live on that amount, then they should, go to the re-education camps. And if that doesn't help, then be beheaded.
Now, we just recently saw the guillotine rolled out in a huge protest in Israel. 500,000 people in the streets. Basically, they are part of this global, what some call, or I call, the global insurrection against banker occupation. Has there been any communication between, let's say, the Tel Aviv, Wall Street, Athens, Cairo, Tunis? This is a global uprising.
Yes, I receive emails and messages and letters from all over the world, especially Israel and Turkey and even Iran, everywhere. I see it all, and I just encourage everybody, get together as fast as you can. Stop all that lefty factioning stuff that leftist men love to do. Women, come together, and it's ours, and we'll take it, and we'll fix it in a heartbeat.
We have some questions from Twitter. What, this one's from Bloated Lesbian.
I've seen her. That's a funny name.
She asked, if given the opportunity to confront Lloyd Blankfein or Jamie Dimon, what would Roseanne Barr say to them?
You're under arrest.
Short and sweet. Okay, next question. This is a question about getting a little bit more fine-tuned and maybe occupying the nexus of this problem, the Federal Reserve.
Absolutely. They got to go. They're out of here as soon as I'm elected. That will be my first act. First, I will make war illegal. I'll get rid of the war on drugs and all other fake wars that we're losing in the United States. And I'll kick out the Fed and I'll legalize marijuana and forgive all American working debt.
Okay, now those positions sound roughly similar to Ron Paul.
Yeah, but I'm not against big government. I love big government because if it was not for big government, we never would have built a middle class in this country.
I want to talk about solutions because we started out the interview saying we would get into some possible solutions for Occupy Wall Street. And we promised people in the Occupy Wall Street that we would talk about some solutions. Now, let me put something out there, which is that the blood that makes the occupation of the banksters work, their stock and trade is their stock price. So therefore, in order to attack the banksters, one first has to accept that you need to decapitalize them, not decapitate them. That could come later. But initially, they need to be decapitalized. That is to say, drive their stock price down in some way.
I think we're on the same page there, aren't we?
I think so. And other campaigns in the past that have been more narrow in their focus and have gone after, let's say, companies that were involved in animal rights, they're being attacked by animal rights advocates for using animals in testing, they brought risk to the balance sheet of those companies. I'm thinking of Stop Huntington Life Sciences. And that stock price went to zero. And it had a tremendous effect. That seems to be a model that could be transitioned to the Occupy Wall Street thinking process. What do you think?
I love it. That's why I came on to hear more from you. Could you break it down and, like, say it simply? Tell people out there that don't have, that may not, just give them the simplest thing to do. What do you suggest the simplest thing we all could do would be?
Go through J.P. Morgan's books with a fine-tooth comb. Find out where they're breaking the law. And then make it known to the money managers in the world how they're breaking the law, thus putting risk on their balance sheet and driving that stock price down. Clearly they're breaking the law, but the money managers still hold the stock because they haven't been told. Once they're told, they have a legal responsibility to act. It's all about putting risk back to them where it came from. Okay, all requires just a simple analysis of their 10K, their 10Qs, their SEC filings, where they're hiding their criminality, their criminal behavior, their financial terrorism. Make a big issue of it, and their money managers, by law, must sell the stock. And then, to add a kicker to this, you can actually encourage hedge funds to attack the stock also by selling it short. So you're leveraging the system against the system instead of being victimized.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. I think that, there's one big company that everybody should like focus on, and we all know who that is.
Yeah.
That's the most outspoken person I ever met. Did a lot of time for it, too. 37 times in jail. Guy that took me off the freight trains when I got back from Korea. And you, many of you heard me speak about him before, and I'm never tired of it. Yeah, I was just cruising the country drunk most of the time, maybe angry at what I'd seen and done. I didn't know if I could live in the country anymore. There was a house down in Salt Lake. I was on the Western Pacific freight trains coming south out of Ogden, Utah. And I heard there was a house outside the Roper Yards in Salt Lake with a lantern on it. And inside that there was, it was warm. It was real cold. It was early spring. And there was a food and a clothing barrel so you could change your duds. And I found it. It was called the Joe Hill House of Hospitality, one of the Catholic worker houses. Dorothy Day's people, you know, and Peter Buren. But mainly I found old Ammon Hennessy in his late 60s. Ammon Hennessy had come out there to start the Joe Hill House. Ammon Hennessy was a Catholic anarchist, pacifist, draft dodger in two world wars, tax refuser, vegetarian, wise guy, one-man revolution in America, he called himself. And I think that about covers it. Ammon was tough, but not hard. He was tough without that brittle hardness a lot of tough men have that would shatter it if you struck it too hard. Love in action, Dorothy Day called him. Using Dostoevsky's words, love in action is harsh and dreadful compared to love in dreams. And he had that harsh, dreadful love and a little chisel-shaped fingernail that he'd jab at you. And I got scars from that damn thing. He would back you into a rhetorical corner from which there was no philosophical escape hatch. He had you dead to rights. You'd say, Ammon, I'll change. I promise I'll change. Just don't talk to me anymore. Oh, God. The man could talk. Oh, boy, he could talk. I mean, he just didn't do free speech. He flogged it to death. Yeah, he never went to the ballot box. Ammon didn't, you know. Ammon Hennessy's body was his ballot, and he cast it in behalf of the people around him every day of his life. And he never had anything, you know. He just got the satisfaction of knowing he was doing the right thing. And you could never tell him he hadn't voted, you know. I guess he had that body ballot. He'd say, yeah, I did. I did vote. I just didn't assign responsibility to other people to do things. I accepted responsibility and made sure that things got done. A little bit different way of looking at voting, isn't it? Think about it. Yeah. Well, Ammon, my. Many times we stood up together in front of Federal District Judge Ritter, that old fart. And Ammon would be picketing against war taxes illegally, you know. It didn't matter. He'd still hold his sign up there and still pass out leaflets and talk, fasting every day for every year since Hiroshima. Long fast. And he'd get busted for picketing illegally, and he'd stand up. He never played innocent or guilty. He played anarchy. And Judge Ritter would say, anarchist? What is an anarchist, Hennessy? And Hennessy would say, well, an anarchist is anybody who don't need a cop to tell him what to do. Fundamentalist anarchist. I don't like that. And Ritter'd say, but Ammon, you broke the law. What about that? And Ammon'd say, oh, judge, your damn laws. The good people don't need them, and the bad people don't obey them. So what use are they anyway?
That was Utah Phillips, the great wobbly and radio storyteller. Earlier we heard an old anti-war mashup, Don't Touch That by yours truly, featuring myself, Black Sabbath, Edwin Starr, Fox News, Caitlin, Otis and Jordan McClay in their younger days, with some Jimmy and Raymond with Songs Over. Roseanne Barr on Mac Kaiser's show with Guillotine Revival Suggestions, followed by We Are More Intelligent Than You, More Anarchitects. This has been the Interside Radio Program, a leisure service of the Pacifica Foundation. broadcasting 100,000 watts of healing radiation from Houston, Texas. This and all other Innerside Radio programs are on the internet. Simply Google The Innerside. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week.